Log Talk Radio. You're tuned in to In5D Radio, the next dimension of radio where we bring you the hottest in-depth spiritual, metaphysical, esoteric conversations and news with your hosts Greg Prescott and Heidi Cole. Get ready for spirit, body, and mind to expand in 3, 2, 1.
Namaste, everyone, and welcome to In5D Radio, coming to you from Sarasota, Florida, every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, and 12 a.m. midnight in the UK. I'm your host, Greg Prescott from In5D.com, and for the next 2 hours, we're going to be raising the vibration of the planet, galaxy, and universe. Tonight, our special guest will be astrologer Jim Delacoli, who many of you know as Panther Jim 1995 on YouTube. But first, I'd like to introduce my co-host, coming to you from New York City, singer, songwriter, stunt person, and author of The Subway Diaries, Heidi Cole. Hi, Heidi.
Hi, Greg. Sorry, I almost gave you a heart attack there. But
Heidi didn't get on the air until about a minute before we...
There's a lot of traffic. I was trying to dodge through cabs and stuff on 42nd Street, and it was a kind of madness.
But you made it.
I made it, yeah. Okay, so in this week's news, there's a ton, but I decided to pick a few things here. So in 5D family, how many of you who aren't, quote, borrowing your neighbor's internet hate paying huge internet and or cable bills every month? I'm one of them. Anyway, here's a little coverage story which struck me as actually really important this week, involving AT&T and Big Telecom and the rights of Americans to opt out of the corporate system to communicate online. As many as 1 in 10 Americans cannot get internet connections fast enough for common online activities such as watching video. And many communities have responded to this digital divide by actually creating their own municipal broadband networks as an alternative to the slow services offered by big cable and telephone companies in order to gain equal access to education, healthcare, and even jobs. One example of such a success is Thomasville, Georgia, which has been connecting people for more than a decade, which is why I said a little covered story. I didn't even know this was going on. The kicker is these efforts could actually soon be blocked by the big telecom companies, who seem rather uncomfortable at being upstaged. As a result of big telecom lobbyists, some 19 states have passed laws to stop these communities from making such investments, and Georgia could be the next. Here's a clip from Amy Goodman's Democracy Now!'s coverage of this topic. We think.
Imagine paying $40 per gallon for gas when people in a nearby town pay $4. Well, a similar disparity is commonplace when it comes to paying for internet access here in the United States. Our rate of broadband access trails some former Soviet bloc countries such as Romania. In fact, as many as 1 in 10 Americans cannot get internet connections that are fast enough for common online activities like watching video. Many communities have responded to this digital divide by creating their own municipal broadband networks as an alternative to the slow services offered by cable and telephone companies. Chattanooga, Tennessee has built the nation's biggest municipally owned fiber optic network, which offers all of its residents access to a 1 gig connection at speeds 100 times faster than a regular cable connection and 500 times faster than your typical DSL. This means equal access to education, healthcare, even jobs. Other examples of success include rural area of Georgia that's been connecting people for more than a decade. But these efforts could soon be blocked. Some 19 states have passed laws to stop these communities from making such investments, and now Georgia could be next.
Heidi, I think you're on mute.
Two experts on the subject, Catherine Weiss and Chris Mitchell, explain both why high-speed internet is being denied to rural areas and what communities are doing about it.
Well, sad to say, in Georgia, they're experiencing the same thing that we had experienced in North Carolina only a few years ago, which is an attempt by the telecommunication carriers to stop municipalities from providing broadband to their people.
What is broadband?
Well, I know what the companies would like them to believe broadband is and what
community
they think.
Community broadband.
The community broadband is the concept that the community gets involved in building the infrastructure to bring broadband to their residents and their businesses.
Why aren't companies doing this?
Well, they've admitted in public that in a lot of these areas they feel that there are not enough homes per mile, or that the people don't make enough money, and so it's really not worth their investment to bring broadband to those communities.
We have a situation in which, in a number of communities, we have the equivalent of a dirt road, and we have the private companies are providing a dirt road, and a community says, we would like access to the interstate, and the company says, no, the dirt road is good enough. You should not be allowed to choose if an interstate is right for you.
And finally, here's an example of Thomasville, Georgia, a success story of complete independence from big telecom is functioning.
Thomasville, Georgia's situation has been so successful that they have eliminated local property tax.
So how?
Simply because it's keeping the money local, it's generating more revenue locally, things are being done much more efficiently, and in fact it's also raising the quality of life in Thomasville, Georgia beyond the expectations of most people. One of the examples that was given by the mayor is that a local doctor who was outside of the service area of their system called them up and desperately asked if he could be given fiber to the home, where they ran a fiber out there, and he could finally upload and download x-rays and contact other specialists from his home. So for Thomasville, it's allowed them to keep world-class health care, and for a rural area, that's pretty significant.
So obviously this is a big, big deal, and thanks to Amy Goodman, it's getting out there a little bit, but needs to get out a lot more. Now, AT&T and Verizon continue to fight the off-grid actions of these municipalities, but I feel it's such an awesome example, what we just heard, of what could potentially lay ahead for all of us, the more we work together to free ourselves from the clutches of big telecom, and that it's definitely worth taking note of. Now, secondly, those of you who have been part of the In5D Radio family for a while now probably know my great affinity and love for plants. So this story, which follows the superb documentary I mentioned a few weeks back, The Secret Life of Plants, which proved consciousness in and amongst our green friends here on Earth, was of great interest to me, and I thought I'd share it with all of you. This story was in this week's PreventDisease.com and describes how plants help each other grow by near telepathic communication. The article states, plants have now significantly been shown to draw alternative sources of energy from other plants, and that plants communicate through nanochemical oscillations, meaning vibrations on the tiniest of atomic and molecular scale, or in other words, as close as you can get to telepathic communication. So in other words, they're doing already what we too are capable of and hopefully are all beginning to remember how to do. Members of Professor Olaf Kruse's biological research team have shown that green algae not only engages in photosynthesis, but also has an alternative source of energy. It can draw it from other plants. His research findings, released in the online journal Nature Communications, even showed that young corn roots make clicking sounds, and that when suspended in water, they would lean towards similar sounds mimicked in the same frequency range by humans outside. Now, working with chili plants in the most recent study, specifically Capsaicin annuum, the researchers first grew chili seeds on their own and then in the presence of three other plants, chili, basil, and fennel, and recorded their rates of germination and growth. Now, fennel is considered an aggressive plant that oftentimes hinders the germination of other plants around it, while basil is generally considered to be a beneficial plant companion for gardening. Germination rates were fairly low when the seeds were grown on their own, lower when grown in the presence of fennel, but better with other chili plants, and even better with basil as next-door neighbors. So something is going on. And according to this study, this demonstrates that plants are able to sense their neighbors even when all known communication channels are blocked, i.e. light, chemicals, and touch via dark plastic placed between germinating plants. And most importantly, they seem to recognize the potential for the interfering presence of a bad neighbor and modify their growth accordingly. We believe, the study said, that the answer may involve acoustic signals generated using nanochemical oscillations from inside the cell, which allow rapid communication between nearby plants. Now, what can we humans learn from all of this? Well, our physical bodies are like sponges soaking up the environment. The human organism is very much like a plant. It draws needed energy to feed emotional states and well-being. And this can essentially energize the cells or cause increases in cortisol and catabolize cells depending on the emotional trigger. This is exactly why there are certain people who feel uncomfortable in certain groups, specific group settings. Back to the introvert-extrovert show last week, Greg, where there's a mix of energy and emotions. This was stated by psychologist and energy healer Dr. Olivia Bader-Lee. When energy studies become more advanced in the coming years, she states, we will eventually see these plant communication mechanisms translated perfectly to human beings as well. Bader-Lee suggests that the field of bioenergy is now ever evolving, and these studies on the plant and the animal world will soon translate and demonstrate what energy metaphysicians have known all along, that humans can heal each other simply through energy transfer, just as plants already do. Humans can absorb and heal, she quotes, through the other humans, animals, and actually any part of nature. That's why being around nature is often uplifting and energizing for so many people. Although this article is just the tip of the iceberg in this field, I feel it's an important statement for all of us to heed in this fast-paced, internet font, technocentric world we currently live in. And so instead of rushing to the doctors or Googling remedies for this, that, and the other, next time you feel disease or any sort of way out of balance, try going for a walk in the woods or in a field or anywhere you can find some nature. Just put your feet on the earth and watch what happens. Trust me, all the answers and healing you will need will be there waiting. And one last note I'd like to make, Ari, our plant family, who in my opinion are always there and have always been there, willing and ready to help. We've mentioned a few times here on N5D Radio the power of placing ungerminated seeds under the tongue for 6 minutes prior to planting, and that they will mix with your saliva and, in fact, your particular DNA to create a plant, a vegetable, or an herb with the exact specific properties best suited to you and your health needs. So follow me here. If you combine this simple technique with what we just learned today and over the past few weeks about plant consciousness, interplant, interspecies healing, and communication, can you see the immense possibilities for balanced health and well-being that are just waiting for us once we start tapping in? Anyway, what an amazing world lays ahead for us, just under our feet or under a tree. Greg, are you there? What's going on in Sarasota?
Yeah, I'm here. I swear, some plants and most animals are smarter than the unawakened sheeple.
Absolutely. We'll catch up, though. We just got to put some effort into it.
So, are you taking fish oil supplements? If so, then you may be putting yourself at risk for cancer as well as clogging of the arteries. According to professor and researcher Brian Peskin, fish oil is a poison.
Where fish oil came about, think about what started this. 20 years ago, they had spoiled fish. So a whole market developed, and it took a lot of time to sell this fish to another market compared to restaurants, because restaurants aren't going to buy bad fish. So what do? You go to the health industry where people are dying, literally, for solutions, and we got conned again. It never stops. And actually, the Harvard investigators, Dr. Hu over there, an MD, the quote was, to date, there's no conclusive evidence to recommend fish oil supplementation for primary or secondary prevention of cardiovascular disease. So the first question you have to ask is, how much of this is made by the body? The answer is next to nothing. It's about 6 milligrams. And an average capsule of fish oil is 600 milligrams. So you are getting 100 overdose. Cod liver oil, This is the ultimate fish oil, right? Significantly increased the risk of skin cancer. This was 50,000 Norwegian men and women over a 12-year period. They looked by biopsy of everybody that was diagnosed with cancer. So it went through the cancer registry. It was the best ever done. 1996, three times more melanoma in the women eating the fish oil. Why would a human being suffer a fish oil deficiency? Thank goodness these studies are coming out now showing failure, because this stuff is a poison.
And perhaps, not by coincidence, I had a stage 3 melanoma removed about 6 years ago during a time when I was taking fish oil supplements on a daily basis. So if you're currently taking fish oil, you may want to research this topic as well. I'll leave a link in the more info section of this video to Brian's website. Now, before I bring on our guest, Jim Delacoli, to the show, I want to tell you guys about a really cool smartphone app called Skye. Now, that's spelled S-K-E-Y-E. And what this app does is show you the stars in the sky at any given point throughout the day. So if you're curious about a bright star in the sky and want to know what it is, then simply point your smartphone at the star and you'll immediately know. Now, this app does not work with iPhones, but if you're using a Droid, you're going to love it, and it's free.
Awesome.
All right. That being said, our guest tonight is astrologer Jim Delacoli, and many of you know him as Panther Jim 1995 on YouTube. I post all of his videos on N5D News, and I find him to be one of the most interesting and fascinating astrologers on the internet, because he'll tell you exactly how things are without fluffing it up, yet he maintains a very spiritual perspective in his work. So without further ado, Heidi and I would like to welcome Jim Delacoli. Hi, Jim. Welcome to N5D Radio.
Hi, Greg. Hi, Heidi. How are you all this evening?
Hi, Jim. Welcome.
Doing great.
Glad to be here. Good.
Thank you. I read your bio on your website, and I completely related to what you said. I used to think that astrology was a bunch of mumbo-jumbo, especially the horoscopes in the newspaper, yet I would read my horoscope anytime a newspaper was near me. I remember back in 2007, I learned of this rare astrological alignment that was to occur in 2011. And the last time it occurred was in 1967 during the Summer of Love. I told my daughter in 2007 that we should start seeing an influx of tie-dye shirts because of the energy of this particular alignment. And right on schedule, tie-dye made a huge comeback. So that's what really sold me on astrology. So, Jim, perhaps you'd like to tell our listeners how you became involved in astrology.
I was raised Catholic and pretty much kind of kept that, as like you did, Greg, to the side. But I glanced at it. I kept bringing it back into my awareness. And I was going through a low period in life, and somebody recommended me see an astrologer. I did everything that a typical skeptic would do. I gave her all the information as late as I could before the actual chart reading, and tried to keep as much information to myself as she asked in the initial phases of the reading. And she was talking, she ended up just like talking right to my inner voice, and she was pummeling me with the things that I believed or thought or felt at the time that I didn't let nobody else feel or know. And, you know, she just pulled it out of me, and I said, how in the world could somebody do this when they knew nothing of me? So from that point, I started to really become aware of who I was, and I started to realize that my own guidance or my soul was trying to lead me all along by bringing things into my awareness that were out of the blue or in a dream or, you know, as I was just driving down the road and paying attention to really nothing. And when I started to realize that my source or my soul was, you know, trying to guide me all along, I started to pay more and more attention to those awakenings that I was having, and they kept leading me back to astrology, the planets, and how they have a rhythm and a energetic presence that trying to guide us and get us to evolve through our lives in this shell.
So as above, so below really comes into play.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, Jim, let's jump right into it. In your opinion, where are we heading as a spiritual collective?
I've been watching this, and I think if you really want to watch where we're heading as a mass, a spiritual mass, I think you got to watch the planet Pluto. And And as you know, Greg, you've done one of the better jobs of following Pluto and its transit in Capricorn. Pluto moves so slow. And I equate it to when I have my groups and when I speak about Pluto, I just ask the people in the group if they would have a guest, and if they would like the guest to stay for 2.5 days, how would they know them? That's how long the moon transits through a sign. But with Pluto, it transits at least 12 years through a sign, so it goes very slow. And so I asked them then, how would you like a guest to stay for 12 years? And then how well would you know them? Pluto moves us to our core, and it's always working with evolution, and it's one foot in front of the other, and we can't avoid it. We can't hide from it. We must acknowledge it, and because it's so slow, it happens over a period of time, and that's where the generations all have a different footprint that they're going to leave here on Earth.
Well, it's also important to keep in mind, too, if anyone does a natal birth chart reading, you always want to look at where Pluto is, because that'll show you what kind of challenges you're going to be having in your lifetime.
Absolutely. That's where your evolution will probably happen at its core, and it's also going to be where you find you hide the things that you maybe don't want to try to deal with this life.
Mm-hmm. And as many of you know, Pluto is in Capricorn from 2008 through 2023. Now, the last time this alignment occurred was in 1776 during the American Revolution, which is not a coincidence. As we see all these revolutions going on all around the world, it's also not a coincidence that many banks started to fail in 2008 right on schedule. What do you see happening with Pluto and Capricorn until the year 2023, Jim?
I think we're in the final stages of the first third of its run through Capricorn, and that is that the revelations of what's gone on, what we've let go on that are not congruent with nature and they can't withstand the test of time, the revelations happened and will continue, but we're starting to enter that second, the middle portion of the, if we slice the transit of Pluto into Capricorn, we slice it into three pieces. We're in that middle section now where it's the Taurus, the Capricorn slash Taurus part where we can do something about it. So I see money crumbling. We will see the emergence of a new way. I'm hoping that the new way is the old way, because Pluto asks us whenever we deal with it and its energy to deal with things that work with nature, not against, and so it must withstand the test of time.
So money crumbling, as in a new currency or getting rid of money altogether?
They're going to try. I always look at the powers to be use astrology, and they use it very effectively. They have a 30 to 50 year plan, and we in our lives only have, most of us have, you know, a 3 month plan, and some of us that do a little better do a 3 to 5 year plan. Because they're working so far out, I think they've been trying to deal with these planets and prepare. I think they're going to try and create a monetary system that is what I'm going to say is non-physical, but it's going to run where we're going to use cards, or we're going to use certain identifiers that we all have on us to kind of carry all our information with us. And that's not going to last. It's going to try to happen, but it's not going to work, because people are realizing that this only works for the people in charge, and everybody else has to suffer and support that system.
Yeah, you know, and I think a lot of us are really tired of being economic slaves, and it doesn't matter how well off you are or how poor you are, all of us are economic slaves. Now, I also think that there's going to be something involved with religion and government that is tied into Pluto and Capricorn. What are your thoughts?
I think you're spot on. The sign of Capricorn rules any type of system that comes to power for the sake of power. So they build structures and they build systems that keep themselves in power. Pluto destroys any of those that aren't good for the masses. So I see government struggling big time. I see religion really going to have to face what it's done over the past 248 years, as that's the transit of Pluto. And, you know, I also see big corporations going to fall in this as well, because they also have created structures or systems that enslave the masses.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Roman Catholic Church arguably has some of the best astrologers on the planet. They have the world's most powerful telescope in Arizona, I believe. called Lucifer, which is I don't remember the acronym, what it stands for, but it's really ironic that they're, you know, of all people, the Roman Catholic Church would have the world's most powerful telescope named Lucifer.
Exactly.
just goes to show you. According to – we had Kelly Rosano. She's an astrologer on a few weeks ago, and she said there's going to be what she calls the event right after May 25th. I guess there's an eclipse going on there where essentially the matrix collapses. Now, on May 25th, there's a global protest against Monsanto and their GMS poisonous food, or as I like to call it, crap. What do you see going on around May 25th?
I'm going to add one comment to the Catholic Church, and then I'll answer your question. They also have the largest assembly of astrology books in the Vatican basement.
Oh, yeah, and a lot of stuff that's been hidden and obscured from us, definitely.
So they've been using this a whole lot, just like ley lines and things. They use it actively and have for forever.
They are. I know some of the older astrologers I've talked to that the powers to be that are out there constantly will come
consult
to them and consult their advice on when to do, how to do, and then what energies are they going to be dealing with. But they work in a 30 to 50 year plan, which kind of stays ahead of us, if that makes sense.
Yeah. You know, I just wanted to mention one thing about that bank card. They've already started instituting that
already.
To say. Like I'm paid half the time when I'm paid, not by tips, but paid. It's by bank card now. I don't get cash. I don't get money. And to get money, I have to pay a fee. So you know who wins there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And every time I make a mistake at the ATM machine, I get fined.
I was going to say, you get the burden on that one.
Yeah, it costs me about $5 to $10 to create cash from the plastic.
Right, correct.
Yeah, just wanted to mention that.
And also, you know, there hasn't been any money printed since 2009. If you look in your wallets, you're not going to see a United States Treasury bill that says the year 2010, 2011, or 2012, or even 2013 on it. So what they're doing is they're trying to devalue the dollar, essentially, and have less of it on the markets in order to get us to go to that. And what they want is that chip that's placed in all of us, whether it's in our hands or wherever. But, you know, that's the ultimate goal.
Absolutely. They remain in power. Okay.
Let's get back to the question. Okay, on May 25th, there's a global event against protest against Monsanto and their GMO poisonous food. Mm-hmm. What do you see going on around that time?
I see y'all were talking. I was listening to you about the plant life and how it the energy gets transferred back and forth. It seems almost magically. So to speak, but I see us improving here as the eclipses that we've exited, the Sagittarius Gemini, provided us an opportunity for us to find the truth and us to find the universal truth as the North Node was transiting through Sagittarius, and the South Node then, where we have to release or give up information, was transiting through Gemini. So what I see around that time, because that is the day of the eclipse, is disinformation increasing. But also I see opportunities for us to, like, reveal truths that maybe not have been as visible as they are now. And so I see the opportunity for us to emerge with some truths that we can carry from our core, kind of like you were talking with the plants and how they, if we put the seed in our mouth, it's kind of like what we're doing here. So I found that very interesting that y'all were talking about that, because I was hoping we could talk about this final eclipse in Sagittarius Gemini where it's our chance to find our truth from our perspective. And we all have a perspective that's unique, but we all can use each other's energies and help ourselves evolve. So I'm looking for a huge opportunity around the 25th. Anytime we have an opportunity, know that the powers to be have an opportunity. And so they're also going to take this chance. And I think what they're going to do is really get after us and work on destroying some of this information that's available to us, destroying some of those avenues, and, you know, work on keeping what they want us only to know out there. But I think we can beat them to that if we would just grab hold of these energies and get in with them and find our own truth.
Go ahead.
I wondered, Jim, did that in this last eclipse, did some of that go on during this last eclipse on the 9th? Because it felt like there was a lot of energy available to us, but I also, I emailed Greg, this probably rambling thing, about, it's, I had all these, especially women, contacted me via text and email that they didn't know what was going on. They never feel this way, but they could barely function. All the demons in their life were just flooding back from about the 9th to the 11th.
Yes.
A few days before, actually, the 9th. And I noticed in New York City, it felt almost harp-like that the weather changed drastically. There were these crazy thunder and hailstorms, and there was no forecast of it. But everything was clouded. You couldn't see the eclipse. It felt very manipulated. And then all these female friends, my phone wouldn't stop. It just kept going. They were just having major meltdowns. And I was like, just go sit under a tree, please, because it's not you. It's not you. It's, you know, it's your family maybe was bad or your job is bad, but it's not that bad. It's not you. It's not you. And it felt very manipulated.
Yes. And again, that's where when I really started learning astrology, I started realizing that it's getting used against us. So what we really need to do, we all need to just to learn it for our own use and for our purposes and the people that we surround ourselves with, because when you have the information, you're more prepared for what's to come, and then you're looking, you know, and you're understanding, and you're getting in the rhythm. And what happened on that eclipse on the 9th was that's where the nodes have gone. Now they transit clockwise through the zodiac from our perspective, and now they're in the north node's gone into Scorpio and the south node's in Taurus. So we're having a lot of our past emerge, Scorpio, to deal with, and to what I think we're at the end game here as far as human civilization and the opportunity for ourselves to catapult and get to that golden age, so to speak, is here. And so when this eclipse in Taurus, it was a chance for us to kind of handle these energies, don't run from them, handle them, but handle them from that Taurus perspective, and that is to do your part and try to remain calm here. Like you gave good advice to get out in nature, remain calm, because the universe is trying to help us here get through this.
Well, I felt it was really interesting because your comment about empowering yourself, the thing that helped my friends, because they were, one's off-grid, one's in the city, one's, you know, they're all in other places, but they all, like, the city one said, oh, I just want to be in a trailer off-grid, and the one in the trailer off-grid said, I just need internet, you know? I mean, they were, like,
right,
so crazy.
Right.
But the interesting thing was I was able to cut and paste these texts, which I was spending a lot of time doing, to each other, to say, listen, this is what I'm talking about. This is happening not just to you. And immediately they felt okay. And because they knew it wasn't them. It wasn't just them.
Yeah.
And the other thing I did find was I hadn't heard from any men, and I don't know whether this was happening to men, but I felt like it was really an attack on the divine feminine, on this energy which is coming up to balance out what we've experienced for the last 26,000 years. And the reason I found nature so helpful, it was almost an instant panacea, is because it offers you that sort of feminine Gaia energy, and it just does the trick. It just did it. You just go and sit in the grass, and then boom, you're okay.
Absolutely.
So I think that's important.
Absolutely. And we are at the end of that cycle, that 26,000 year cycle. So picture it just as if you were talking. We're being born into that next phase. So the feminine energy is extremely powerful right now.
Yeah, and they don't want it to be.
No, because it's way beyond anything they can control from the physical plane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they certainly gave a good whack at it on the 9th through the 11th. I mean, wow.
Well, these eclipses are, it's the universe, and eclipses, a way to kind of bring that energy where we can grasp it is remember that eclipses are the universe saying, you're ready, you can handle this. I'm going to awaken you. And because the eclipses are in the north node's in the powerful sign of Scorpio of death and rebirth, we're dealing in extremes here. So if you have the prior knowledge, all right, I'm going to have extreme energy time here, but the universe is telling me that I'm ready for this, and I got to just stay in the middle. And it's funny, you said your people that were off the grid wanted to get to the energies and the things that on the grid people have and vice versa with people on the grid.
Yeah.
That's exactly
yeah.
how that worked. Everybody was dealing in extremes and they were, you know, they were like, what in the world is going on?
And the common thread was, I can't stand being in my own skin.
Right.
I can't stand being in my own skin. So it's interesting.
I know Drumbel Melchizedek mentioned that we go through during this 26,000-year cycle where we have 13,000 years where it's more patriarchal and then 13,000 years where it's matriarchal, where you have the divine feminine. And what ends up happening is, like right now, we're at the end of the patriarchal society and we see all these wars and destruction and stuff like that. And then eventually we segue into the divine feminine. But at the end of that, you have over-nurturing, starvation, famine,
yes,
and stuff like that. So somewhere we need to find a balance ultimately.
Yes, and that's what I've been looking at. I've been trying, my message is trying to you know, the masses is just that 248 years ago when Pluto last transited Capricorn, the Revolutionary War brought America. We need to improve that, or we have not done our founding fathers any good, and we haven't done the human race any good. And that's what we're trying to do right now, is we're trying to catapult the human race into something that can sustain itself in the feminine and the masculine. We can blend them together and not have to have the same repeating cycles of the beginning is tremendous, everybody loves it, and then we abuse it, and then at the end we have to go to the other side, you know. And that's what Pluto, we're all working on here. Let's not go to the extremes. Let's stay in the middle and enjoy that from that perspective with a wise knowledge, knowing that we are where we're supposed to be.
It's kind of like when people vote, you know, one year, you know, all the Democrats get in, and then they say, oh, we don't want this, and then they vote for the Republicans. Then they say, oh, we don't want this, and it goes back to the Democrats. We're not learning anything. It's the same crap in a different toilet.
That's exactly right. I just laugh when people get into big arguments, with Democrat and Republican. They're both going to the same place. They're just coming from a different perspective. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Now, you spoke about the truth coming out. With this whole Benghazi affair, I have a feeling that there's going to be a false flag to divert our attention from the truth. Do you see anything resulting from this Benghazi cover-up?
Yeah, I actually do. Now, what I was looking around between the 25th of May and the 8th of July, a lot of planets are going to converge to where we're really going to like feel like, oh, things are coming to a head, and then I think they will, because it's not being left alone. People are searching for the truth, and they're searching for the truth from their perspective. They're not just taking in any type of media report or any type of newspaper article. They're calling the bluff on people, and this had to happen. This is the end of the Sagittarius Gemini cycle of this disinformation thing had to be revealed, and that's just what's happening. And so I see what happened. What's to come is, When these events happen, people immediately are starting to call them out.
And what I'm seeing right now, speaking of the truth too, you know, these whistleblowers are coming out of the woodwork right now. So, you know, another thing I was thinking about too, speaking of dates, on July 4th, Adam Kokesh is going to lead this group of people into Washington, D.C. with loaded guns on their back. What do you see happening with that?
They're going to try and fend him off before he gets there, because this is going to be an emotional fourth. And so I think what they're going to try to do is fend him off. And I don't think it's going to happen. So I think that one thing's going to come to a head. But when we go back to the false flag, Greg, I think that that's going to be something that we're going to have to deal with, because they're going to try to divert and keep all this to a minimum. So, but I don't know. I think he's going to get there, but he's going to have to give up on some of what he wants to do. That's what I'm seeing astrologically.
Like the bullets.
Yeah.
Now I see that we have a caller, several callers on hold right now. We're going to bring on, I recognize this number, we're going to bring on Andrew. Okay, Andrew, you're
How's
live.
Hi. Doing? How you
Good.
Doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Hi,
well,
Andrew.
I'm all right. And by the way, speaking of July 4th, before I get to my question for your guest speaker, on July 4th, I'm actually also trying to do something. It's not the same thing as what Adam Kokesh is doing, but from 5 to 5:10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I'm trying to get the square root of 1% of the global population to meditate together, because Greg Braden said that that's the magic number. If you can get that many people meditating together at the same time, it will permanently suppress global evil. So if you could maybe help me spread the word about that. People don't need to go anywhere specific, just a comfortable place to meditate from 5 to 5:10 p.m. on July 4th, Eastern Standard Time. Would you be able to help me with that?
Definitely.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah,
I'll create a web page on that, 10 p.m. on July 4th, correct?
No, 5 to 5:10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, a 10-minute meditation from 5 to 5:10 p.m. Eastern, and have people meditating for 10 minutes with the intent of spreading peace throughout the world. If we can get the square root of 1% of the global population, that's what Greg Braden says, and I think he's probably right, we can permanently suppress the evil of the New World Order. So I think it's worth a try.
Yeah, I'll create a web page for that, and I'll see how many people we can bring aboard. How's that?
Awesome. And thank you for your help. And Alex Jones also said he'd help me. I called into his show and he said he would help me. How about that? But
wow.
Side issue. The point is, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, Andrew, thank you for calling. I wanted to say that the moon's going to be in Gemini, so it's going to be a great time to get your message out. So if you can build up towards that, I think you might like the results that happen. I did forget to say that, Greg, that the moon is in Gemini on the 4th, so that's a communication sign.
Oh, awesome. All right. I hope that's a sign that I'll be able to get the magic number of people.
Yes.
But, okay, thanks for telling me that. But anyway, Jim, I wanted to ask you, well, first of all, I have no doubt astrology works. I mean, humans are made of electromagnetism held together by that. Astrology is based on magnetism, so of course where the planets and stars are is going to affect our life. I buy that. Even mainstream science would basically have no choice but to accept that. But the thing about astrology is I don't really believe that it is in my best interest to look at my horoscope. I'm the kind of guy that's always believed just go along with life knowing that astrology is for real, but never bother looking at your horoscope or anything like that. Just go with the flow and let astrology lead you. Well, am I making a mistake there? Do you think maybe it's maybe it would be a better idea for maybe to look at my horoscope or something? Would it help me in some regard, or is it better to just flow with life, not looking at your horoscope?
That's one of those extreme scenarios that I like to remind people stay in the middle, because sometimes we so bad want to know what's going to happen that we maybe miss the opportunity that's trying to present itself. So there's a delicate balance here. And what I try to remind people is prepare yourself for the energies, but be open for the opportunities, because the universe knows way better than we do into what the potential is. So the miracles are there, I think, by preparing yourself, by knowing what's coming and understanding who you are at the core through astrology, you can start living more to the potential of your life here this time. The other thing I wanted to add, Greg, I was hoping to get the opportunity, and here it is, one of the problems with the horoscopes that I see, the average person out there is they read their sun sign horoscope, and the problem with the way a natal chart sets itself up, you need to know your rising sign or ascendant sign, and then that's the horoscope you need to read, because that lays the planets in the correct houses or the areas of life that the individual needs to be concerned with when whatever day or month comes to the individual's life. So what I would encourage everybody to do is find their rising or ascendant sign and read that horoscope before they read their sun sign horoscope.
Okay, so how long in advance would you recommend would be a good idea if I want to know for the future so I can do better in the future than I would if I didn't look at my horoscope? How far in advance, like a week, a month, do you recommend?
Yeah, I would start like with 5 to 7 days, get used to that, and then give yourself more time, get work yourself into a month, and then I'd even look and have you got big events coming like a wedding or maybe thinking about having a child or moving. I'd try to plan that 1, 2, 3 years out if I could, but you've got to build to that. You don't want to start with that or you drive yourself crazy. You'll forget where you are, and then you need to live.
Also, you want to keep in mind when there's a Mercury retrograde, which happens 3 to 4 times a year. You might want to explain that, Jim.
Absolutely. Mercury goes retrograde. That's a ruler of the sign of Gemini, and that's the communication planet. And so what you want to do is you don't want to complete anything during that time. I always refer to retrograde, use the RE and think and do where you could place the RE in front of whatever word, review, redo, remove. Do the work, the behind-the-scenes work, to gain wiseness in whatever area of life that you're having issues with while Mercury's retrograde, but don't complete anything and careful on starting anything, because what will happen is you'll have a lot of obstacles because of the fact that the communication is skewed during that time.
Oh, thanks for your advice. I don't remember everything you told me because you went through a lot of information, but Greg will definitely upload this on YouTube, and I'll make sure I listen to that to make sure I get down everything you just told me. So,
okay,
definitely.
Thank you so much for your help.
No, I appreciate the question. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew. Take care now.
Thanks, Andrew.
Take care. Bye.
Heidi, we have several more callers on hold here. Do you want to bring one on?
Sure. Let me do that. I also had a question quickly. Jim, what do you know about people who have transcended their charts?
The people had the what? No, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Transcended their chart? Yeah, transcended their.
I'm not sure of the question. I apologize.
I don't know. I was. It was told that it happens rarely, but you transcend your chart and that it no longer applies.
I believe that you can evolve. I think that we're all on like a spiral, on a kind of a spiral course through the heavens, and I think that you can evolve to the point where you become almost what you were supposed to. And I think you can move through that, absolutely, and maybe that's what you're asking. I think that it's just that you've lived enough and you've learned enough. And, you know, you've gone through the phases of action, of observing, and then of planning, and then action, observing, planning, that I think that, yeah, you could absolutely do that, but that's a very rare instance that I think those people just get it, and they're very unique individuals that are very rare here on the planet.
Okay. I was told to me a couple weeks ago, and I don't do astrology that much, so I just want to know what it meant. Okay, we're going to call, we're going to bring in 340, are you there?
Hello?
Hello. Hi.
Oh, I didn't know I was on the queue. I was listening to the show.
Are you listening or do you have a question? Either one is fine.
I was listening because I just got in. This is my first time being on the show. I always catch it on the podcast, but I never catch it live.
Okay, well, we can put you back on hold so you can continue listening if that's what you'd like to do.
Yeah, and then if I have a question, I'll ask later.
What's your name?
Oh, I'm Tresta.
Tresta?
Hi, Tresta.
Yes.
Well, thanks for being part of the M5D family, and enjoy listening so you don't have to listen later on podcast.
Okay, thank you.
All righty.
Okay, well,
take
we'll
care.
Put you back on. Okay.
All
right. So we'll bring in 818. Are you there?
Yes.
Hi. Who? What's your name?
Susan. Hi. How are you?
Hi, Susan. Welcome.
Hi. When you were talking about, I'm a Virgo.
Okay.
Do you need my birthday?
Yeah, you give me your birthday. That would help.
I think so, unless you have telepathy. September the 15th. Do you want the year too?
Yeah, the year really is.
1954. I think I'm born in the night. I think I'm 9:10. Let me
PM.
PM. Let me just check it. I always get confused. I was looking at this circle. Do you also do numerology? I was just curious about that.
I dabble in it, but what I found with the way my energetic field works, that astrology consumes my time. So I don't, you know, it just gives me too much to do. And so I'm real careful. I don't want to ever lead anybody down a path that I'm not versed into, you know, talking about. So
why I said that? Because because with numerology, you know, you go by your numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So with the, I'm 9:10 p.m. Okay. Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Because I'm a night person.
Yes.
When I look at this chart, they have all these numbers and squiggly things, and I don't understand what it means, this chart. So it's like, with the numerology, it's like, for the average person, it seems simpler, you know, to figure it out.
Right.
Than with the astrology, it's like more intense. You really have to be educated.
Well, astrology is about numbers. If you look, there's number 12. There's 12 signs, and then really basically it's just a matter of dividing 12 by 1, and then divide it by 2, divide it by 3, 4, 5, and so on, and then that gives you the different aspects and angles in astrology. And then, you know, the tighter the angle, or you know, the more solid the number by the division, the more powerful the
aspect. Okay, well, that tells me a lot. Numerology is addition. So I'm looking at this round wheel, and I'm going, well, nothing's adding up. Well, they're not supposed to.
No, not at all. Not at all. So, yeah, maybe that'll help you a little bit as you try to figure it out.
I don't know. I would have to take a course, I think, to figure out these numbers. I'm looking at them right now. So it's like.
Well, Virgos are perfectionists, so don't be hard on yourself. Let yourself learn.
I'm also, I do know I have Scorpion in me, too.
Oh, yes, you do. Yeah. You have a Saturn return right now, which is a big time for change in one's life. And for you, it's through daily routine and partnerships. So you have a lot of change going on.
Oh, my God. I thought it was the planets. It's like I've been so confused in life, yet some things I have knowing.
Yes.
I have telepathy, too. So mm-hmm. some things I just know things, and I don't know how I know them, if you understand what I mean. You
oh, no,
knowing
absolutely.
And knowledge. And so I don't have the knowledge of the knowing. It's just like, how do you know that answer? I don't know. It just comes to me.
Yeah, you're extremely at birth you had Jupiter and Uranus together in Cancer, and that's extremely powerful for an individual that can reveal from their past before they got here. And you're in tune with kind of what's needed. So you have an extremely powerful intuition, psychic, whatever you know, want to call it, and you're really tapping into that now. You can go back to 83 to 85 was your last transit of Saturn through Scorpio and your Saturn return, and you're dealing with those types of energies.
Wow, 85 was when I had my, 86 I had my daughter, but I married a crazy man in 85. Ooh, that
hopefully you're no longer married, are you?
I'm not married. Oh, no. Right. It's 5 years of court. I'm okay about that part. That's amazing you said that, but I'm very susceptible to the energy. Mm-hmm. I can't read body language, and I'm sharing too much. But lately with the planets the way they are, it's making me very emotionally and vibration and all of it.
You're dealing with a lot of karma, and this is a good thing, actually, because you're understanding the real value that can come of this is you truly understanding who you are. And so what I would always look back here as I'm looking at this, because Virgos want to figure things out. They want to get them right, and they want to make them to where they're perfect, so to speak. So here's a huge opportunity for you to get back in touch with your soul and all that you've worked on.
Thank you, because I do have a Virgo in my life who's a week apart, and he's September 5th, and he's just what you said. Now, with me, I'm like I live in moments, and I don't know about time, space, or the average day things that most people do in focusing. So can you understand that? I don't mean to share so much, but my telepathy is so high that my everyday life is just like I could walk into something and not realize it.
Yeah, you're definitely you're very unique because Uranus and Jupiter are together in Cancer, so very unique individual and tapping into the psychic ability, the way the brain works, the ability to function on the physical plane, and you change every 2 or 3 days, so you're ever changing as well.
Oh
so
my
you have
gosh.
a lot. You're using all your abilities, and it's just so much that it's hard to like keep track of it. So I'd say you're right on target.
You're amazing. I didn't know that. I just thought, well, okay, something's just going on, and I. Whoa, that's so true. Oh, wow. Huh. So just keep what I'm doing.
Yeah, just try to, you know, extremes are here, but you're really getting in touch with all that you've worked on. So just let that happen. Don't fight it. Let it happen. That's the best way to deal with what we're all dealing with right now.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Wow. They told me I'm in my flow and I manifestate. Whatever I manifest are coming true. It's just I doubt myself. So that makes a lot of sense.
It's
going
to ramp up. You'll see if you can just, like I said, stay in the middle.
Stay in the middle and drink water.
Yep.
Okay, I thank you so much. Have a
You're
great
welcome.
Evening.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for the call.
Okay,
bye
bye-bye.
Now. Okay, great. That was a great call. And, you know, it kind of brought up a good point, too. I was wondering, what is the importance of similar and complementing signs aligning with one another in relationships? For example, I'm a Libra and my ex-wife, is a Virgo, and we had a physical chemistry together, but it got kind of rocky at the end. Now, she's an earth sign, I'm an air sign. How do these elements affect our relationships?
That's a great question. And what I when I look at people, because that's one of the biggest quests in life is to find true love or to truly have somebody that truly understands you. And there's a great mm-hmm. book by Rose Murray, and it just can't I can't get it off the tip of my tongue yet. If I do, I'll throw it back out there. But it's pretty simple. If you could find, you'll find somebody that, one, you want to resonate with first. And then what I tell people is find somebody that their moon sign, Greg, is your sun sign. So for you, Greg, a great partner would be somebody that has a moon in Libra, I'm sorry, because the moon represents the past in astrology, and the sun represents where we're trying to go. So if you find somebody in your life that has a moon in Libra, they're going to know where you've been. And so when you're trying to get there, they're going to be able to easily help you. And so and then vice versa, you'll want to find your moon sign and need to be or possibility of being in the partner's sun sign. And then it, you know, you want to just equate it out, then do the elements. So you're a Libra, so you'd like a moon sign in a moon or sun sign in either Aquarius or Gemini, because those are the other air signs, and they will go very well as Libra with who you are and what you are.
You know, and it's funny, too, because I tend to gravitate toward other people who are air signs or fire signs. For example, my daughter and I have a great relationship. She's a Leo. She's a fire sign. Fire needs air, and we get along wonderfully together.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, you keep the elements that they're going to help each other. So you don't want water putting that fire out or affecting the air. You want to make sure that the elements are going to be you know, working together, and it's pretty simple if you can get their chart.
I found
ask them their
book
day.
As well.
Your book,
you were mentioning, The Planets Promise Love, Your Romantic Destiny by Rose Murray. Is that what you were speaking of?
That is a wonderful book, and I would encourage anybody starting a relationship to get that book and get the chart. You have to have the time and the information. Just print a chart. You can go online and do that, or you can send me an email. I'll send you one. So,
okay, what I'll end up doing is I'll put a link to the book, or at least the author and the book title, in the more info section of this so people can research that afterwards.
Outstanding.
Okay, just jumping topics, too. In your opinion, what was the message of the Maya regarding December 21st, 2012?
They followed Venus, and the two planets that spin in opposite directions of the rest of the planets are Venus and Uranus, and they followed Venus. They had some knowledge here of Venus and its power. And because of that, I know they knew more than what's being led on for us to gather as far as information that's out there. I think they knew when the times were that there were opportunities. I'm not going to say necessarily leave the planet, but I'm saying to travel through time and space and clearly see how things work. And I think they knew that, and I think they knew that at the end of this cycle that we're being birthed into a whole nother way of understanding, and it's time for us to wake up to that and take advantage. So they were very powerful and unbelievable knowledge of the planets. They had technology that we're not allowed to see they had, and they had an understanding that we're just, you know, at the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, you know, and they were like famous for being the ones that essentially were taught all this stuff by, according to legend, Quetzalcoatl / Toth / what's the other name I'm thinking of? I can't remember it, but it's all the same person. They were taught education, mathematics, agriculture, all sorts of things.
Yes.
By this one entity that came from allegedly the Pleiades, and more specifically the planet called Maya, M-A-I-A.
Mm-hmm.
Real fascinating stuff.
Yeah, and they worked with and stayed in the rhythm, and that's why they were so successful and built the empire they did.
Right, yeah. And then the name I was thinking of was Kukulcan. Yeah, Quetzalcoatl, Kukulcan, same person. Yep.
And the jury is still sort of out, depending on who you talk to, I guess, on whether they're extinct or whether they, you know, whether they actually transcended and they're just vibrating at such a high frequency that we can't communicate with them anymore. Are they with us in the same way?
I tend to lean that way. I think that is correct.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Now you mentioned that book by Rose Murray, When Planets Promise Love, Your Romantic Destiny. Now, if someone wanted to study astrology, what books would you recommend?
For the beginners, there's a guy that his books I don't think are any longer in print, but you can get them on Amazon. His name is Grant Lewy, L-E-W-I. He understood the Saturn principle, and he understood if you followed Saturn and then learned the rest of the planets, followed Saturn where it fell at birth and then has it transited through your chart, that you would grasp an understanding and you would pick up the rhythm of the universe. Saturn and Jupiter are centrally placed as far as the planets from the sun all the way out to the edge of our galaxy. They're centrally placed in the mix there to bring the message from the heavens or the unwritten message. They filter them and then bring them to us, and he understood this. And so his books, Astrology for the Millions and Heaven Knows What, those two books are wonderful starting books. I'm also a big fan of Susan Miller. She also uses the Saturn principle. She doesn't talk about it much, but Planets and Possibilities is a book that she has out there. And then for a kind of a lighthearted approach, because not everybody takes a serious approach as I do, and I understand that, Debbie Kempton Smith, Secrets of a Stargazer's Notebook, she puts a nice humorous spin on things. And so those three books, if you're getting started, are tremendous to get you kind of understanding who you are at the core.
Yeah, I have. I'm looking at one right now. It's Bonatti on Basic Astrology, and we had Santos Bonacci on recently, and this was one of the books that he recommended. Gosh, I've got like seven or eight different books that I've started, and it's all really fascinating. Now, I guess it also is important on what type of astrology that you're interested in studying. Correct?
Sure. Yeah, I do Western, and I do Placidus, and I account for the angle of the earth, whether you're born in spring, summer, winter, or fall, and then how far you are from the equator. I found that that helps me with timing of events when planets transit through the houses, because it allows for that angle of sun, you know, and then the sunlight, whether it's summer or winter that you're born, and then how far you're from the equator. So I do that, and I don't talk down any other astrology, because I've found that the Eastern astrologers are wonderful, Vedic astrology and the Koch system. It's just, I think you go with what resonates, and I think that's where we all mess up in life. We try to do what others tell us when we need to learn to go with what our resonation says, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to take on another caller. I see 724 has been on hold. We're going to bring you on. You are live on N5D Radio. Welcome. What's your name, 724?
Hi, my name's Carol. How are you doing?
Carol?
Carol.
Hi.
Yeah.
Welcome to N5D Radio.
Hi, I don't know if you can, I'll give you my birthday and see if you know what's going on with me maybe a little bit here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, do you have time for that?
Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
9/26/1960.
Okay.
And I believe it was 3:44 in the morning.
Yeah, the city of birth, by any chance? I didn't ask the other lady.
Sharon, I heard. Sharon, Pennsylvania.
Okay. And you said 3:44 a.m., right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay.
Correct.
Okay. Definitely a Libra, so that's a good thing. I'm a Libra. I'm a little partial to Libras.
Me too.
You're already starting off good. us Libras had a tough go of it from 09 to 2012. We had Saturn in our sign, so we had a lot happen. For you, I go back to 04, 03, 04, 05, when Saturn crossed over your ascendant. You have Uranus there, so a lot was going on at birth. Anytime something new's entered your life, you have Uranus there, so shocking, sudden, chaotic events happen. So, I'd look at 03, 04, 05. That's where this cycle started. For you now, you're at the very bottom, so your life force is low. But what you're really doing is you're finding to the core who you really, really, really are. So you kind of, by putting yourself on an island, you're removing some of the past energies, whether it be people or events. They're moving away from you, whether by your choice or their choice, but it's by design, so you can, like, get to the core of what your message is going to be, and then you can work from there. 83 to 85, I'd go back to that point. You have Neptune down there, so there's a lot of hidden in your life. There's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes that you work on And it's tirelessly, I would say, you work on that with having Neptune and Scorpio at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a question you want me to ask? I mean, I can go for.
I just wanted to have an idea because with all the chaos, it makes it hard to, for any direction in life because you think you're going one way and boy, bam, here you go, you know.
Sure, sure. being at the bottom, one thing I try to tell people whenever Saturn transits the bottom of the chart, everything is up for change. And what the way to deal with being at the bottom, what you try to grasp the most or hold on to the most, if you're having to grab tighter and tighter and tighter, it may be something you need to let go of. Now, I know that's a painful process, but that's the universe saying it's time here. This is holding you back. So you got to look at this from a perspective of I'm getting to really know me at a whole nother level, and I've got to allow myself the space to do just that. So if it's isolation that's happening or things are leaving you, know that the real message or the real thing that's going on is you're just finding who you are at a deeper level right now.
Mm-hmm. That's what I kind of thought.
Yeah, the universe has a way of working that's miraculous, in my opinion, and the eclipses are running in the Scorpio Taurus sign, so it's telling you that you're ready. You just got to awaken to it. So, please don't throw everything out. That's not what I'm saying, but know that there's a lot of change that's coming. I would look back to 83 to 85 and what went on then, and there's some repeating of events here or energies that you can that can help you kind of navigate here.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, that sounds good. I kind of figured that's what was happening. Okay.
Well, you're getting opportunities that are going to be coming. You just got to hopefully the energy's there for you to awaken to them.
Okay.
If that makes sense. You'll see more clear in 2-3 years, but right now it's about you finding who you are at a deeper level.
All right. That sounds good.
Good
All
luck.
All right, thank you All very right. much.
Bye. Thanks, Carol. Bye.
Thanks, Carol.
Okay, next up we have, I recognize this number too, 780, Jay from Canada.
Hey there.
Jay.
Hey.
Hi, Jay.
Hey there. It's,
hey, Jay.
Glad to listen to you. Yeah, thank you very much for listening. I just did a great show. I was listening to it. It's really, really interesting. I didn't know Pluto was a dictator of our stuff we got to work on.
Absolutely.
My question is regarding my signs for July or so is going to have a Star of David. What does a Star of David mean, actually? Some of my sign, like some planets are coming together in July, and just wondering what that means because I feel that it's really important that in what I'm doing right now, I have to mainstay on that path.
Mm-hmm. Planets transiting will affect natal planets, and it'll create Star David. Is what you're saying here? I'm going to make sure I understand what you're saying.
No, just that I just heard my planets are creating a like. Well, it must be maybe it's going into a Star of David for some reason.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's where planets work together. They're two signs apart in astrology. We call that sextal, and it's where with a little bit of effort put forth for you. From your perspective, a lot can get done. A lot can happen. Are you a water sign, I would guess, then, if that's happening?
I'm a fire sign. I'm actually an Aries.
You're an Aries. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going to happen is a lot of these planets are going to try to help you through the elements to gain some headway here as you move through. And to have this happen is kind of a lucky time. But I don't want to say lucky and then have – you know, you're waiting and looking because there's an action that has to be taken. So if there's things in your life that you want changed or big events coming, this could be a tremendous year for you to get those to happen on a way you'd like for the outcome to be more suitable for what you need. So that's a huge opportunity for you this year to make this happen.
Mm, oh, very interesting. And I just wondered, the different astrologies that are out there, are they about the same way of, have you practiced any other types of astrology, which are, I don't know, maybe in East Indian or anything like that, or have you looked into different types of astrology?
I looked enough to just have a tiny bit of knowledge. I don't want to speak as if I'm versed because, again, I try to learn what I've done and take that as far as I can, but Indian astrology uses the moon, and I think the moon is
just as powerful as the sun. And so I think there's definitely value there. So I give the moon maybe a little more value than most in the Placidus system in the eastern the western that I do. So I think there's definitely some validity there, and it's proven the test of time. So I always like something that's been around and, you know, has worked and continues to work, because I think that will continue to work. So yeah, I don't discount anything. I don't talk about it because I'm not as versed as I should be.
Mm-hmm. I'm really interested. How do solar flares affect the astrology charts right now? I just wondered.
Well, I think that again, that's we're in the galactic center, and I was looking at that as time. If we took a ball of clay and we put it on a wheel and we spun the wheel, it would eventually turn into a disc. We're in that as we go through the galaxy, we're going through that disk, that matter that got formed as we continue to spin. So I looked at that as energizing the times and awakening us to all that has been and what can be. And so the potential here for us as we travel through the galactic center is to see more solar flares, see more comets, and, you know, just a lot of activity, because we're going through all that has been and all that I think can be. And so it's really time for us to be reborn into what I consider our potential.
Mm. Okay.
I think that's a great question.
Okay. Well, thanks very much. Thanks much.
Great.
Ray.
Yeah, the solar flare question. Great one.
Thanks, Jay.
You're very welcome. We'll continue to listen to the show. It's a really great topic.
All thanks. Right.
Bye,
thanks
Jay.
For calling.
All right. Take care, brother.
Thank you. Take care.
Oh, okay. Well, we have another caller here on 646. You want to bring him in?
Sure. 646, are you there?
646, you're on air with N5D Radio.
Maybe they might just be listening.
Okay.
We can come back. We'll come back if there's a... Okay, 352. Hmm? 352, are you there?
Yes, we are.
Hi, what's your name?
I know them.
Hi. Oh, you do?
This is Lars and Kendra in Ocala, Florida.
Oh, hi.
Uh-huh.
Well, we're
hey, Lars, Kendra. Oh, definitely. Great
how
people.
How are you? Yes.
Doing great.
Well,
how are you doing?
You, Greg, and you do a great job for everybody, and we appreciate it. And, we all have to strive to, bring everybody together. And that's what we're doing here tonight. And I tell you what, to have you do the things that you do for everybody, it's it just makes it all a big a party for everybody, because this is all going to start happening for us.
In Lakesh, brother, I am another you. We're all in this together, and we're all doing our part, bro. Yeah.
Well, we appreciate it. I got one question, and then I got kind of maybe Jim can explain a little bit about the comet coming up. But I'm a Pisces and. Born February 21st, 1964, and I was born in the morning at 9:31 a.m.
I got the 1964. Did you say January 21st? What did you say?
February 21st.
I'm sorry. And what time of the day?
9:31 in the morning, a.m.
Okay. And did you give me the city? I'm just trying to take this. I'm trying to write your name down.
Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Virginia Beach, okay. Give me one second. The comets that are out there, I was looking for a lot more activity, and I think there's comets out there that they're not talking about that are hidden, that may be coming up through, because when I've studied this, and I don't, you know, the proof is maybe not there as it should be, but there I do think planets are traveling from the north-south perspective versus... in our plane, so I think that's going to really have an effect on us. So things will be coming from areas that we're not used to, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does seem.
Uranus and Aries is bringing us the kind of energy that we need to expand our awareness into outer space. So it's bringing these planets. It's also going to bring what I consider UFOs or aliens into our awareness as well. So I think we're definitely in the time that we need to look into the heavens. Uranus rules astrology, and because it's transiting in Aries, it's time for astrology to make a run back here and really give us some more, where we're going to use it more and have more knowledge with it. So I think we're in a wonderful time.
Well, it's, you know, when, you know, I'm kind of going through a time in my life now where I'm really searching deep within myself as to my past, my choices that I've made, and now what am I going to do about it? Now how do I actually turn it around and change it and make that step forward to shed this old skin and be that new person that I know that I'm going to be? Now, it's, you know, there's this time happening now that, like you said, it's affecting everybody differently, but at the same, in the same way. And I'm just trying to, you know, get through that. And it's a struggle right now. And like you said, they're fighting to keep us from finding ourselves. And we have to work harder at overcoming that, you know.
Yeah.
I'd be curious, curious to know where Pluto is on his birth chart.
Yeah, he was born at a time when Pluto was transiting the sign of Virgo with Uranus right there. So he came to get this right, and he wants to bring out what's been hidden. It's very important for the truth to emerge. And that generation that born in the early to mid to late 60s has that within them, and it's very important.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I want to ask before I talk about your chart a little bit, you say 9:31 a.m. or p.m.?
A.m.
Okay.
That's true about myself because I do seem to, you know, I feel like I've always had these answers. I've always been on this journey, but I've been lost because of and now I woke up, and thanks to Greg, he's doing this for other people. We are all waking up, and Kendra and I are actually doing the same thing because I'm woken up now, and I want to wake other people. So it's a cycle that I've finally come to an end, and now there's this new beginning, and I'm excited about it. And astrology is what's helped me find out who I am and how to address that.
Good. And you're going to be good at astrology. I don't know how much you use in your life, but you have the potential to take it and use it. But it's later in life. Saturn for you fell in Aquarius, which is the ruler of astrology. That's the sign that Uranus rules. And so it's later in life, and you're actually probably going to use it and be effective with it in helping others. For you, I see the big transit for you is Neptune coming into Pisces. If you're looking at astrology, you see you had Mars and Sun at first degree of Pisces at birth. And that's a tough combination to handle because Mars says, we got to pioneer, we got to get it done, and we got to get after it. And the Sun's kind of the objective that we agreed to when we came to Earth. So with those two planets there in the sign of Pisces, Pisces is the ruler of the last house and karma and, finishing up and putting it all together and tying it in a nice bow so we can move on. Having Mars there, it's almost you're dealing with opposites there at birth where you want to get it done, but you got to wait. And so with Neptune coming here, you're piecing this whole thing together. A lot's happening with you. You're really finding who you are because Saturn fell in Aquarius at birth. I'd say that you had to wait this long or you would have abused it earlier in life with the gifts that you brought, if that makes sense. So
I feel that energy 100%, and you're right on. It's like, you know, you raised me from a baby. and that's what astrology does. It gives you those answers. And once people start realizing that astrology is so powerful, it is what we are. And Andrew said earlier, we are electrical. Of course we are. And that's what this is all about, is understanding what and who we are. And astrology will do it for you.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you just got to take your time and just let it sink in. It's the strangest subject I ever learned because I could read the book from front to back and, you know I need to read it, but it didn't sink in. But it'll sink in when I'm sleeping or when I'm in the shower or driving down the road. I start picking it up more and more. So I know that it's in line or in rhythm with the universe because it continues to be downloaded after you read it or study it or listen to a show or pick up an article.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's everyday confirmation. When you go through life and you make those progressions through your day, you get confirmation of the things you've learned, and then it sticks. It's not just trying to memorize something. It's just part of you now. And understanding that is actually understanding yourself so we can get through these times and not be affected. And that's really kind of the hard thing, I think, for most people to grasp is we have that power. Let's use it. But first finding out that you got it, and that's what we really need to wake up to.
Absolutely.
And people like you, Jim, have done that. Greg's done it. Heidi's doing it. And, you know, and Kendra and I have a lot of projects in the works that we're doing the same thing. We're trying to help the rest of the world also and wake up people that don't know about it. And Jim and Greg and Heidi, we really appreciate it. And I want to get up there and give some more people some more time. But I really appreciate everything from all three of you.
Well, I appreciate you. You're doing what we all need to do, because in the end, you can only do it from your perspective. We all got to be doing the same thing. So way to go.
And I appreciate what you said about the synchronistic confirmations, because I found so much that, like you said, Jim, reading something is someone else's interpretation. But when you actually get it from your surroundings or from something you bump into or from your life, then it becomes inside out rather than outside in, and you begin to own it. And I think that's really important for people, because there's so many teachers out there. And if you start getting those synchronistic parallels and voices and confirmations and this crazy things happening, it really, mm-hmm. you begin to own the information. It becomes part of yourselves, and it's just very powerful at that point.
More empowered, and it becomes easier, and it's just like, you know, it's a slow process too, and it doesn't happen overnight. And, you know, it's just what these conversations and our energy being live right now, going across the airwaves, it's really what this is all about, and I really appreciate everything that you guys are doing.
Yeah, I think it's awesome, and having a place every week to come in, because things are moving so fast, to sort of touch base and expand on the energies exponentially is just awesome.
All right, to get grounded. Go
yeah,
ahead, Greg.
Yeah.
We love you guys. Thanks for being part of the N5D family.
Well, we appreciate it. You know, Greg and everything you do is about love. And the thing that I'm learning right now today, and we've talked in the past, is you have to learn to love yourself. And once you learn to mm-hmm. accept yourself and love yourself, then everything else around you becomes easier. You won't start blaming other people. You'll start accepting responsibility and becoming that God that we are. So we could, you know, emulate what the planets are. I mean, they're telling us how to be like that. Now it's time to wake up and start this journey with a new sun every day, because right now we know there's the dark times and they're about ready to break. So I'm prepared, mm-hmm. and with your help, Greg, and everybody and people like Jim coming on, we're all going to make it. It's just a matter of getting through this.
Absolutely. We're not alone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's an exciting time of the year, and just the whole period of time that we're in right now, it's just amazing. You can feel the energy just lifting and the awakening happening. You can just mm-hmm. sense it. You know something big is about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Definitely.
Right.
Daily, minute by minute. Yeah. Thank you so much. I love your energy.
Thank you.
It's just awesome.
It feels good,
like,
doesn't it? It feels
like,
great. That
it does. I know. Well, it's like you just want to watch the bubble burst. It's just so cool.
Yeah.
Well, it's the first time
I'm,
that Mars is called. And,
it
know,
is
Kendra's
my first time.
Couple times. Yeah, so welcome
mm-hmm.
to the first time that you've been on our show, and I'm sure you'll be calling again.
Well, I'm about ready to be reborn. You know, I'm a baby all over again, and this time starting all over. And, you know, not quite 50, and I feel like I have this long life ahead of me to do the things that I know I'm here to do, and I'm mm-hmm. ready to do it.
Awesome.
And we're ready
awesome
for you to do it.
Yeah.
Well, thank
yeah.
you.
Yay!
Okay. All right.
Yay,
so we'll,
all right.
Yeah, we'll let you go, but thanks again for calling, Lars, and
mm-hmm.
say hi to Kendra for us, and don't be a stranger here on N5D Radio. Okay, brother?
No, I'm family. You won't ever get rid of me. Thank you.
All right. Sounds
okay.
good. Man. Take care now.
We have another call, Greg, on 253. If
yeah.
want. Okay. Here we go. 253, are you there?
Hello.
Hi. What's your name?
It's Desiree.
Desiree, welcome to N5D Radio. How are you?
Hi, Desiree.
Hi. Right on. I got in. I can't believe it. So
yeah.
that's cool. I just
you're here.
Yeah, I did it. So I just wanted Jim to take a quick look-see at my chart and see if he saw anything. It was
absolutely.
Okay, so my birthday is 4/22, 1960,
mm-hmm.
San Bernardino, California,
mm-hmm.
At 5:40 p.m.
All right, throw that in there. What I talk while I'm entering in this information, what I really love about these generational things, because I was born in 65, is that we all are picking up on this message, and it's just a affirmation there with astrology that, yeah, my generation, we got it. You know, we're picking it up, and we're really knowing we need to do our part, so it's been enjoyable for me here to see this.
Well, I've enjoyed listening to you. I've listened to some of your tapes, and I love astrology. And I've had others read for me. So
a lot of us have were born in the 60s, and while we were too young to really remember the Pete Make Love Not War, the whole event that was going on during then, we remember the energy of that time, and that energy is coming back tenfold.
Absolutely. Yeah, and we're going to – now we're at the age where we're doing something with it. Okay, Desiree, you're a Libra ascendant. I don't know if you ever had your chart read.
Oh, wait, no, I've had my chart done many times.
Okay, good. So I'll cut right to it. Your Saturn cycle, you dealt from 09 to 2012 of wrapping up and then starting anew. So you're on a whole new Saturn cycle, 29 year, and so you're the change. A lot's going on in your life. A lot of change is happening. You have Neptune in Scorpio at birth, and Saturn's there with the eclipses. So a lot of transformations happen. A lot of things are trying to be pulled or enter into your life. It's a matter if you can make enough room for them. I love Saturn in the first house, and I love to talk to people that have that because they have the best questions, in my opinion, because they're fresh, and they're like, you know, my slate's clean. Where can I go, so to speak? And they know it's time to move forward. So for you, with that going on, Saturn coming to the first house, there's huge opportunities, and really you can be what you want from this perspective. The thing to remember, though, is that you don't need to know where you're going, so to speak. You just need to know that I'm beginning a 29-year phase, and I've got to pioneer. I got to frontier. I got to move into something here, and I got to allow myself that space. So if things are let go in your life, or you know they go away, not by your choosing, know that it's a cycle that you're the power here. So know you are the change, and the opportunities that come and go here for you are really what you're repelling and drawing to you.
Right on.
What happened to 83 and 85 with you? Because you have an interesting chart with that.
Oh, goodness, 83, 85, that's like a lifetime ago.
sure it is.
With this Uranus in my Aries,
yeah.
Am I having some kind of grand trine?
Yes. Yes.
In my...
Fire.
Fire. Yeah, I've just been feeling so much more. I've always had a lot of adrenaline running, but this last, it just seems like it's just building up, and that Aries
sure.
energy is just coming in. And I'm just feeling a lot of electricity and intensity, and I know it's time for me to do this new cycle, and that many changes are here, and I do have a clean slate.
Yes.
So that was pretty much right on.
Oh, good. I with Uranus transiting sixth house, don't miss the opportunity to add meditation or, you know, develop a even
every
healthier
day.
Lifestyle. That's right. Every day, let this Uranus thing work because you have two faster-moving planets, Venus and Mercury, in that sixth house as well. So huge opportunity for you to incorporate in your daily life new and I'm going to call them things that are going to free you up. To even become more in the Saturn transit. So yeah, it's kind of a nice combination having Uranus go through the sixth as Saturn's in the first for you. You're changing, but here's a good opportunity to lay the groundwork to free you to be the change and allow the change to happen.
Thank you. I am so feeling it. So blessings, and thank you for answering my questions. I love you.
Well, thanks for calling.
See you around.
That's right.
Thanks, Desiree.
Take care, Greg. Thank you.
Bye. Okay, now Jim, I know you mentioned something between what we were talking through YouTube, and you said that there's two notable eclipses happening, one involving Sagittarius and Gemini and the other involving Scorpio and Taurus. What can we expect during these periods?
Well, we're finally winding down the Sagittarius and the Gemini, so the last one that will occur on the 25th. And what we'll see and what we're going to deal with is the disinformation that's been going on, the unveiling of kind of the spying and the restrictions that are getting ready to come, they're going to start really showing themselves between now and the 25th of May. So watch internet or issues with internet or cell phones, watch that increase. Because whenever we end an eclipse, it like gives a final burst of energy or final burst to, you know, for us to be aware of. So know that's there. And then as we moved into these eclipses into Scorpio, Taurus, it's about dealing with just the core of life. Yeah, you got to dig out the ugly. But there's also the beautiful and the miraculous that's there. So it's about things that have to end for beginnings to come. And we're going to have to sacrifice a little bit because the South Node's transiting Taurus. And when the South Node transits a sign, we must give up or release whatever it is by house and sign. And Taurus is stability, foundation work, you know, the ability to have some consistency. We're going to have to give a little bit of that up so we can open to what the universe is trying to give us through the Scorpio side of the equation, and that is of death for rebirth and miracles to occur. So when everything seems muddled and confusing and not to make sense, don't get caught in the extreme. Stay in the middle because Pluto always brings a miracle in the end, and that's what you got to know. So you got to keep fighting here. Pluto slash Scorpio brings the miracle because it's about transformation, really, in the end, what we're dealing with these eclipses as we move forward.
Now, with the Internet emerging with restrictions, mm-hmm. is it possible that the Internet would actually shut down at any given time?
There's a possibility, but the more I deal in astrology and the more I deal with the and see how the powers to be operate, they do things real slow because they don't want to upset the apple cart. So they'll... you know, like make it difficult to, they may attack websites that are getting a message out that they don't want out, you know, that's empowering people, or they'll, you know, put in a lot of information out there that they'll know people will follow, and then and it'll be disinformation. And so, you know, but they move so slow. So the end game is to get you on your cell phones, get you on the Internet, and then take that away. That's the end game. It's going to happen slowly because they know if they do it quickly, everybody rises up, and then they have something to deal with that they don't want to hand. You know, they don't maybe necessarily could handle.
Well, you know, they're so compartmentalized that it's going to take them time to go through the chain. And by the time they go through the chain, we're already calling their next shot. We
yes.
already see what's happening. We've seen what they've done in the past. It's so predictable. And it's like I said before, you know, with this whole Benghazi thing, how it's blown up in the face of the current administration. You can almost expect a false flag happening to distract us from the whole Benghazi event.
Yes, I think that's where the flaws come into play when you have a 30 to 50-year plan is you get boring. You think you have more control than you do, and you don't understand the movement or the energy or the moment that the people rise up, and that's exactly what we're seeing here is people are starting to call things as they see it from their perspective, not mm-hmm. what they've read or not the highlight that they saw on AOL when they turned on the Internet. They're starting to dig, and they're not just taking that first clip and believing everything that's been told to them.
It really seems as if their 30 to 50 year plan was based on the sheeple public who are going to continue to be asleep with no feminine energy brought in, with no awakening, with none of the things that are happening right now, with no light energy. And it doesn't match up anymore with the reality of where we are. It just doesn't
yes.
match up. It's like two different puzzles. It's not even the puzzle piece. It's two different puzzles, you know. It's barely applicable. And every day that goes by, it feels like there are moves are so far out in left field compared to where we are that, and even with, when you compare Boston to 9/11, you know, both of which were horrible, of course, but, you know, because of Facebook and social media, the response time is seconds, you know, minutes
yes.
and seconds and hours, not years and decades.
Thank God for alternative media, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the only place I get my news anymore. I equate that.
I know.
Heidi, I equate that to I was a huge Boston Celtics fan when Bird and McHale and all them were there. And I equate what's happening to the powers to be is what happened to the Celtics when they got old. I mean, it happened, seemed to happen so quickly that their, you know, their time was done. And I think that's what we're seeing here.
Yeah,
the system,
they feel
the
very crusty, huh?
Yes,
hey,
absolutely.
Hey, yay, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think you're spot on with what you're saying.
Yeah, they feel very antiquated and crusty compared to the speed at which we're awakening. I was like, wow, guys, you know, just sit down and rest a while because we got it from here.
Yeah, we got control of this. We're gonna take it. So let's go.
Yeah, we got this. No worries. Just sit back in your armchair and smoke a cigar or something.
That's right.
It seems like the more we put this stuff out there, calling their shots, the less likely they are to actually follow through because they know we're onto their game.
Yes, and that's really what's appearing and happening now, and everybody's just looking for the next false flag. And so, that's why I always bring the moon videos up, Greg, because the moon, from our perspective, travels the fastest through the zodiac. So we experience the new and full moons every approximately 14 days. I'm trying to get people in the rhythm, and if you just watch the moons, a lot of things take place behind the scenes from the powers that be when the new moon happens, because that's a manifesting time, and then a lot of action takes place when the full moon happens.
Well, every time I post a video, I'm putting it on N5D News, so it's always there for the folks that are listening. Check out N5D News every day, because if you want the real news, the news that's not being reported on the mainstream media, it's going to be there.
I resonated with you right away, so I was glad you called. I was actually excited, and I loved the stuff you put on there, and I don't know how you had the time, so you two are amazing.
Well, right. Your style is so awesome, Jim. It's very, there's a million astrologers, but you have such a pragmatic and it's like a very warm and personable, grounded approach, which is really great. It's just very, very refreshing.
With the spiritual aspect to it.
Yeah. There's a lot of the spiritual out there, but it's sometimes missing the feet on the earth part.
Right.
Yeah, and I get this is you just feel very secure with your videos, with your message, with your information, and how you present it and how you come about how it comes about. It's very unique and it's great. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
We have a few more. Oh,
okay,
go ahead.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I
came to that by digging into my chart and going through the hell of life, and then as Lars was saying earlier, I'm just me. So I thank you for that because what you see is what you get. Sorry.
Yeah, it definitely comes through, and you can see you were sort of a reluctant light worker at the beginning, but that's always a good thing because if you come to it, you come to it from a true place. So.
I'm curious too. Are you an introvert or an extrovert?
Well, I was trying to listen to your show, and I think I'm both. Is that possible?
Ambivert, yeah.
Oh, you're the lucky one.
Well, because there's times that and later in life I'll be probably more secluded as I have the moon down at the very bottom of my chart, and I'm definitely okay with that. But sometimes when a message needs to emerge, I'm out there. I'll preach it to anybody and talk to anybody. But there's other times like, no, I need to sit back and observe. So I kind of swing between the two, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Well, if you're an ambivert histrionic, then that's the best. All right, we have another couple of callers. Can we bring someone
in? We do.
In?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me see. We have two here. Come on, clicker. 586. 586, are you there?
I am here.
Hi, what's your name?
Hello. Hi, my name's Teresa.
Hi, Teresa.
Hi.
Hi, Teresa. Welcome to N5D Radio.
Thank you. Been enjoying the show.
Awesome. Thank you. Do you have a question for Jim?
I do. I just kind of want to look and see what's going on with me. I feel like I'm starting all over again, if you will.
That's not a bad thing. But give me your information and we'll see what's going on.
Okay, May 22nd, 1963.
Do you know the time?
Around 11:38.
A.M. or P.M.?
A.M.
You say
another 60s child.
Did she say A.M.? I'm sorry.
Yes, sir. I'm cracking up another 60s person.
Yeah, exactly.
Was that A.M. or P.M.?
That's A.M.
And then what's the city of birth, if you don't mind?
Detroit, Michigan.
Okay.
Do you remember that energy of the 60s, Teresa?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
It was a special time.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was. You talk about passion and change, and that was a wonderful time to be alive.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to do that now. We're bringing it slowly.
Oh, definitely.
Occupy was a lot like that, I have to say. I mean, I don't know the 60s, but Occupy was very, it was just during, before they evicted us here in New York. It was just, it was so real. It was just awesome and so much movement and love and
you
brilliant.
Know, without even knowing the being born in the 60s, all you need to do is really watch like a Woodstock tape or something to get that energy of what was going on, and you can just feel that kind of love. You really can.
Yes, absolutely. All right, a lot of squares in your chart, so that tells me a lot of karma's getting handled this life. For you, just into Gemini, Sun just crossed into Gemini, so you got a lot you're dealing with. As we have a lot of planets moving through the first three signs, they're the inner planets mostly of Aries, Taurus, and Gemini. And so you're experiencing a lot of that, so a lot of change. Gemini's come to learn, figure things out. I always think of and try to describe the twins facing away from each other. So you're one way and then can be another. You have a lot of fire early. You have Aries and Leo as an ascendant, so a lot of passion. You're very gifted. Pluto in the first house as well with Uranus, so you're definitely a unique individual that came to bring change and came to experience death and rebirth, so to speak. So Pluto first housers draw powerful people and draw powerful energies because they are powerful. Again, you had a Saturn in Aquarius, so relationships, I would say, are going to be better later than life. I'm real careful when I go here because Aquarius is on your seventh house and Saturn's there. So you kind of learn through relationships as you go through life. So late in life, they do get better. I'm not discounting them early in life. Unique individuals are good for you, plus or minus 7 years, as Aquarius is on the seventh house cusp. And then because your moon, I don't know if you know it, you were just shy of a new moon. Your moon fell late in the sign of Taurus. It gives you very stable emotions with the sign, with the planet Mercury and the sun. All three of those are pretty close together at the top of your chart. So with the moon and sun close together, a life of manifesting. A lot of work to be done, but a life of manifesting. So I do like that Taurus moon because I think it brings some stability for the work that you had to done through these had to have done through these squares. But you're in a huge time of change, and this change should be beneficial. Go back to 05, 06 when this started, and now you're down at the bottom phase where, you're a little tired, but this is about you making room for you to become more.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's how I've been feeling. It feels good.
Good. And you know, being at the bottom is a good thing for meditation and you know, you just digging deep and what do you want? What do you think? What matters to you? Be a little selfish here. I think that's going to be beneficial here as you continue this transit, because really the rest of us need you. As Saturn then is going to rise up on the chart, we need you to be really secure and really confident in what you learned at this time. So think of it as, this is a time for me to really figure things out from a perspective that's mine, so to speak.
Hey, Teresa, have you been through the dark night of the soul recently?
Yes, I have had one.
Okay, that's great. And I say congratulations, because
Thank
this
you.
Is your rebirth
right now. I feel
good
right
about now. It. Isn't it good? It's wonderful. And this is your chance to really, you know, come out of your shell and really build yourself into the person that you came here to be.
Yeah. Yeah, it feels
Fun
really,
stuff.
Really good. I've known ever since I was a child. I'm like, something's not right here on this planet. I've always been a truth seeker. Now that I feel that I've got, you know, a good portion of understanding, I feel real confident in moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah,
sounds like
thank
you're right
you.
In your chart. It sounds like you're in your chart, and this is the time to empower yourself here, so I'm hoping that's what you're allowing to have done, because you can draw some powerful people to you that can take your energy or can wear you down, so I'm hoping you've wised up and you're really able to work on that now.
I really have wised up. I feel very, very, I would say I've gone through a lot in that, and I feel wise in it now.
Good.
Using my own energy and not letting everybody else take it and use it. That's
Absolutely.
Been a big one.
Good for you. Good for
you. Yeah.
I love these people. They've got so much awesome energy.
Yes, they do.
She's
been through a lot.
The 60s.
You've been through a lot, Teresa, so you keep it up. We need you.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for the great reading, you guys, and for the great show.
Thanks.
I really enjoy it.
Thanks, Teresa. Thank you so
Thank
much.
You.
Have a good one.
Okay.
You too.
Bye. Talk to you soon. Okay, we're going to bring in another call here, Jim. 646, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, what's your name?
Katie did, as in the cricket.
Katie is my friend. She's being great.
Hey,
she's
Heidi.
She's kind of off grid. Hi. She's moved way off grid and is chopping fire, which she's amazing.
Welcome to N5D Radio.
Hi, thank you. Hi,
I'm
everybody.
Jealous.
Thank you. I know. I am really. Well, it's kind of like I'm actually sitting with a heater, though, now. So I'm not. It's kind of cold, so I'm being warmed up artificially. So.
Do you have a question for Jim?
I do. I was just wondering about my chart and what's going on with me right now. I've had so many changes, but so I'm just wondering what is up in my life.
Okay. City of birth?
Fall River. Yeah.
Fall River, what, Wisconsin, you said?
Massachusetts.
Oh, Massachusetts, I'm sorry.
Yes.
And then the date of birth?
October 7th. And
good Libra, I like that.
Yeah, and I'm a 60s. Child.
Yay.
1961. Yeah, 1961.
We should just have an all Libra show. That'd be good with me.
It's turning into
that. Yeah. Okay.
And the time of birth, do you know the time of birth?
The time, yes, it's 7:02 p.m.
So you remember that energy of the 60s too?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Because I had six older siblings than me, and a couple of them were like real hippies, and one of them went to Woodstock, and the other one was always protesting, and I was they were like aunts to me because they were so much older, and they would take me everywhere to all their hippie friends and hangouts, and so, and I started smoking pot when I was 11, so yeah, I remember
what did you say your name was?
Katie is her name.
That's right. Okay,
Katie.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you up here. Hey, go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's K-A-T-Y. It's spelled
okay.
A little different.
Uh-huh.
Of course, Libra sun sign at birth, and you know, we I think I sent you a note, Greg. Us Libras don't really know balance. We're learning balance, and so that's the quest in this life, is the sun signs are objective. So, you know, having that Libra sign, make sure you look out for yourself. I was going to say you have Jupiter and Saturn together in the sign of Capricorn, so grew up early, understood the world early. So it's funny that you made that comment before.
Oh, okay.
Before I got to even start talking, so that's funny. But it's a nice combination. Saturn usually restricts, but Jupiter expands. So you got those two planets working together at the top of your chart. The moon for you fell in Virgo, where our generational Pluto was, and also Venus was next to it. So for you, you know, the makeup of the individual is you work very well from a perspective of that Virgo perspective of picking up on things and understanding things and kind of have a sense about things, so to speak, with the moon and Venus and Pluto all in Virgo at birth. And for you in the Saturn cycle, you know, you go back to Saturn over the moon, so you look at 07 to 09, going through Pluto, Venus, and the moon going over Saturn transiting over those through Virgo, there was a lot of work that you did, a lot of creation hopefully happened, and an awareness came to who you were to another level. And then from 09 to 2012, as Saturn went through Libra in the sixth house, hopefully you worked on becoming healthier and you know, understanding and from a perspective that's going to be beneficial to you, that get a routine and look out for you in the routine and maybe not so much to everybody else. Hopefully that happened. Now you're into relationship time. So you have Saturn right on Mars and Mercury, and then it's coming to Neptune. So definitely a relationship rekindling or one from the past is emerging. So I'm again, I have to be careful on relationships because I don't know where anybody is, but a lot of change in that that life area of life at this time.
Well, I've been relationship-less, and I haven't desired any, so that's kind of funny. I'm sort of hoping you're wrong on that one. But
well, you have Neptune, so it's hidden, what's emerging. So I'm going to leave
goodness.
It at that.
Okay.
I don't want to force one on you, please. I don't want to do that.
thanks for the warning. I'm going to go deeper into the woods now.
There you go. You won't come out.
Exactly.
Maybe that's why you went in there to begin with.
Yeah.
Watch out for Grizzly Adams.
Watch out for who?
Grizzly Adams.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, right. Yeah, I hope he's not the one.
Well, what happened in 83 to 85, Katie?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I had children in 83 and 85.
Okay. Okay.
And, you know, so that was, you know, my 20s, and I was having to be domestic and not wanting to. You know, I was young, and I just, you know, I didn't plan these things, but, I mean, I'm not talking about my children as things. I'm saying I just didn't plan that, and
sure.
I was just young, and I just, you know, was, so that's all, you know, I was just always probably not, you know, thrilled with the whole domestic thing, I guess.
Yeah. One thing about dealing where you're at now, the last cycle was kind of, you learned, it helped you learn what you really, what really mattered to you, and and so from that perspective, that's what you learned through 83, 85, not discounting anything that happened, but you kind of learned, all right, this is what I don't need, this probably won't be good for me, or this will be good, and so you sorted it out. This time, it's going to be more on that line or more in that area of, okay, good, this is going to help enhance what I want to be, and I'll have a little more freedom here versus restriction. That's what I see coming for you. Because Scorpio and Pluto make us deal with the hell side, to speak. I hate to use that word, but we have to deal with our karmic arena, and then on both sides, usually is the one we would need to work on the most, and the other one is where we can benefit or where it gives back the most.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, that does, actually. Wow.
And it's interesting you're going into hiding because you have planets coming to the top of your chart. So it's very interesting that you're doing that.
Why?
So
what does that mean?
Well, you have a lot of planets trying to get to the top of your chart. So it's interesting that you're doing that. You know, you're off the grid, and you must be in your element. I really like that because you're really finding who you are and what you are.
Yeah, definitely. I've been needing to go to the woods for a long time. So.
Well, you're making space for yourself, which is very good. So maybe you're getting to know yourself.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
Good. You have a Taurus ascendant, so you're very earthy. So being outside is very good for you.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true. Yeah. It's just cold right now. It's very cold here. That's why I'm not outside tonight. And I can't light a fire. It's all wet. So. But otherwise, I'd be outside right now.
Okay. Did that answer your question?
Oh, yeah, very much so. Yes.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was amazing.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Thank you for the show. It's a wonderful show. And,
our pleasure.
Baby.
All right.
Good night,
take
everybody.
Care
nice to hear you, Heidi. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye. Now, I've got a question for you. According to Santos Spinacci's research of Sri Yukteswar, he said that we will soon be entering a mini golden age. What can you tell us about the golden age, and when will that occur?
Yeah, I also believe that. And he comes from a different perspective than mine. I come from a more simplistic viewpoint, and I looked at when Pluto got to that 11th degree of Capricorn, I think that I felt like we would see what we've done wrong, and I felt like we'd see where we need to do the work and then see what we've done right, and then we'd merge that knowledge and get to the golden age, because Pluto really is where we're at. Pluto is where our wisest perspective emerges. And for that for Pluto to transit through Capricorn, we're bringing that to the Earth here. And so I see that in the next 2-3 years, we're going to start seeing that really emerge when Pluto goes back direct in September. I think we're going to start seeing that the platform of the foundation being built, as it'll go back to 8 degrees, and then we're going to work towards that golden age. And then the eclipses are just going to continually help us, because they'll move through Scorpio and Taurus and then get into Aries, Libra, where we must help each other and understand the value of others in their life. You know, so I look at late 2013 to 2015, 16, we're really going to see that emerge.
Oh, that's great. Some good things to look forward to there, folks. We're going to bring on another caller. We have area code 480. You're live on the air with N5D Radio. What's your name?
Hi, my name is Shruti. And
Shruti.
Shruti. Shruti.
Okay.
Hi.
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 How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm calling from Arizona. Again, just like the previous callers, I'm going through endings and beginnings. So I'm wondering what's going on, what's upcoming. Birth data is May 20, 1968.
Okay.
6:40 a.m.
Okay.
Pune, India.
And you'll have to spell that.
P-U-N-E.
P-U-N-E?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
India.
Okay. Moon in Pisces, very, very, very psychic individual here at the top of your chart. So you, anytime I find somebody with the moon in the 10th house, a very powerful individual that has the ability to understand where we are at the present moment in a timeless sense, and then they can understand and pick up where we need to go and what we need to get there. So having that moon in Pisces makes you very powerful there at birth. The moon is our ability to tap into the past, so that's why I talk about the moon the way I do when it's at the top of the chart. That's kind of a unique place for it, so that gives you a very unique perspective. Having the sun in Taurus in the last degree gives you a very powerful presence as far as being stable and practical and putting things together and, you know, being a good worker and understanding things. The last chance degree of Taurus holds the Pleiades, as we talked about earlier, Greg.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a chance for you to put things in perspective this life, as this fell in the 12th house from a, again, I'm going to talk timeless here, but from a perspective that is from the Pleiades, and that is that love really matters. So you're very powerful when it comes to that. I really like to see that sun, moon, where they are. And then you have a Gemini ascendant, so you learned a lot. There's a lot that, you know, you've come to understand and come to this life. For you, Saturn's transiting in your sixth house of self healing of minor illnesses, but it's also a daily routine. So huge opportunity for you as it's opposing the sun and Venus and your 12th house, a huge opportunity for you to put together from your perspective and kind of perfect what it is you know at this time. You had a very wise point in life. As Saturn wants to emerge here, and it will emerge in 2015 into your seventh house where you can kind of bring what you've learned. But this is a time for you to piece this together and really make something of it. Very powerful individual here that has a lot of knowledge from the past. You have Jupiter at the bottom as well. What is it you do for a living?
Right now, my background is in engineering, computer systems engineering.
Okay.
I'm doing process improvement and I'm starting a new job within the same company into product development. So that's starting. Endings, finally, my home is being sold. It's going to be closing tomorrow.
Okay.
So, you know, that's one of the endings. And also transitioning from my old job to the new job. Looking for a new home now that my old home is sold.
Okay, good.
So...
I think that process is going to be very good for you. I don't know how long that process is going to take for the home, but take your time here because you have time and find what's right, because I think that's going to really benefit you as you move forward. And changing in the daily routine, Saturn sixth house is really what's about your life's about. So I like the job change, and I'm hoping it's more suitable to who you are and what you are.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
It's like I've got certain very tight aspects, right? Venus trying to... the moon and the Mars also square the moon, so.
Yes.
Those are the two.
Yes, you do have that, and I like that. I think that they go together well. So the square makes you get up and work, so, you know, we want squares in the chart.
Correct, yeah. It keeps me, my feet grounded.
That's exactly right.
With the Pisces moon, it keeps my feet grounded.
Yeah, and you need that. You do need that because you could want to drift off too much if we didn't have that square there. So that is actually a nice aspect to have. And you're taking it in a, you know, it's a wonderful way you're approaching it.
Thank you.
So,
okay, so anything upcoming that you see very quickly?
Well, yeah, what I would say was you got a this is a good earning. This job should have been a promotion. Is it a promotion?
No, it's a lateral move right now.
All right, well, there's a promotion. This could give you opportunity to make more money because you're going to have Jupiter transiting your second house of your values and your ability to earn. So the opportunity is going to show there.
The Cancer, coming in Cancer. Okay.
Yes.
Great.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Well, good luck.
You take care.
Thanks. Thank you for calling. All right. Take care now.
Bye.
We have a quick question in the from the chat room from Aloha Jay. It says, Greg and Heidi, what is the significance about the Grand Trine on July 20th, 2013?
Yeah, that trine's going to last a while. There are three slow-moving planets in the water signs. And a Grand Trine is really wonderful for us all because we put three planets in three signs that are all the same element. It's going to be water signs, so a lot's going to come up, a lot of passion, a lot of our past, and a lot of realization of things that have gone on that we'll emotionally attach ourselves to. It can happen, and also the ability for us to truly understand from a deeper perspective, from a water perspective, that deep-seated presence or sense of who we are. The one, you know, I know everybody feels like I'm getting ready to say something like, but, well, we're going to have Pluto is going to be in Capricorn, and then we're going to have Aries will be holding Uranus. So it's going to oppose, Pluto's going to oppose Jupiter, and then Uranus is going to square the Jupiter. So it's going to make this where these are lessons that over long periods of time we need to emerge and we need to work with. So we have Pluto in its natal position when we form this country. It's opposing our natal sun sign right now. And so from the American perspective, we have to face some of what we've done, and the realization of what we've done is emerging. And with this Grand Trine, a huge kind of understanding can be had at the core of who we are from our deep-seated emotional state to improve this. I think that's going to – we have the planets trying to help us here, but we're going to have to do some work with these squares and oppositions.
Well, Jim, it looks like we are out of time.
It went fast, like you told me it would, Greg.
I knew it was going to, my friend, and there were still some things I wanted to cover, and I was kind of hoping that we'd be able to maybe get you back on the show again.
Absolutely. I'd love to.
Awesome.
That'd be great.
Now, would you like to tell our listeners how to find you on the Internet?
Yeah, my website is ypie2012.com, and that stands for Your Potential is Exponential. I came to that just one night through just meditating, so it's a kind of a unique name, but that's where you can come email me and contact me, and you can also get me on YouTube, of course, Panther Jim 1995 on the YouTube channel. And I'd love to have comments, emails. Greg, I appreciate you and Heidi allowing me on. You guys are just awesome, and I resonate totally with you guys, and I definitely appreciate the opportunity.
Well, thank you. You know, and definitely be a pleasure to get you back as our guest. Because there is so much we need to cover, and, you know, there's always something new that's going on in the sky, so it'd be great to have you on maybe sometime before July 4th.
Okay. I'm pretty open in June, so let me know, and I'd love to because, yeah, we missed a lot of things I wrote down to try to cover,
uh-huh.
So I'd love to talk, chat, if you guys have the time. So
that would be great.
In.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you, brother, and thanks for
thank
being
you
our
so
guest.
Much.
Thanks for being our guest on N5D Radio.
You're welcome. I thank you both, and good luck to you. Heidi, take care. You too, Greg.
All right.
Okay. Thank
care,
you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. Next week, our guest will be ley line expert Peter Champeau, author of The Gaia Matrix. So we're really looking forward to having Peter as our guest. As always, we're going to close out tonight's show with a song written and performed by Heidi Cole called Walk On Through the Rain. So on behalf of Heidi, this is Greg Prescott from N5D.com. Namaste, everyone.
Namaste, guys. Why bother?
days the deck feels stacked, the things I believed in a crack. And then I begin, yeah. Though it feels a losing head, I don't fold my cards to take a stand. No, strength has a way of finding truth within. But I feel it. Don't stop, think twice.